powerful. Now, I trust you have your Bible with you. And I want to invite you to turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. If you haven't hit share on your Facebook page, go ahead and hit share on your Facebook page. Jeremiah, chapter 1. I want to send a special shout out to Pastor Benny. Watching today, right now, God bless you, my brother. We love you. We're praying for you, and we're cheering for you, and we're believing you're going to come out stronger and better, amen, to the glory of God. So just hold on, my brother. Hold on to the unchanging hands of God. And turn to Jeremiah chapter 1 while you're at it, too. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. If you're able, those watching at home, if you're able, let us stand to our feet for the reading of God's word. Why do we do this? We stand to our feet because we believe that this right here is the word of God. We believe that this right here is the word of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we stand to our feet. So I'm going to ask everybody, including my kids, let's stand to our feet for the honor of reading God's word. Come on, y'all. Let's stand to our feet right now. Let's stand to our feet. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. It reads like this. Then the word of the Lord came to me, this is Jeremiah, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Verse 6. Then said I, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you, I love that, to deliver you, saith the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we open up your word this morning looking to be fed. We open up your word this morning. We ask that you feed us faith, feed us hope. Feed us encouragement, feed us wisdom and knowledge. We look to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. My brothers and sisters, as you know, on Sundays we are studying from the subject slaying insecurity. Slaying insecurity. And we are examining the voice of God to the prophet Jeremiah on Sundays. God called Jeremiah to fulfill a particular assignment, but insecurity tried to choke out destiny from Jeremiah. Insecurity tried to choke out the destiny that was in Jeremiah. Jeremiah felt unqualified. He felt like he didn't have what it took to do what God called him to do. He felt like he didn't have the credentials to do what God called him to do. Now, why did he feel this way? Why did he respond to God this way? It is because of insecurity. Because of insecurity, the voice of insecurity. He was listening to the voice of insecurity. One of the things that we have learned on Sundays, if you've been following along, if you need to catch up, go to our Chapel of Change YouTube page and get our teachings on slaying insecurity. But one of the things that we have learned is that Adam and Eve were the first ones to bow down to insecurity. They were the first ones to succumb to insecurity, the voice of insecurity in the book of Genesis. When God came walking in the Garden of Eden to fellowship with Adam and Eve, they hid themselves. And when God told them, where were they? They responded by saying they were afraid. They were afraid, which includes they felt insecure, which includes that they were feeling like insecurity was trying to choke them out. And what I want you to catch, beloved, is God's response to their insecurity in the book of Genesis. God's response to their insecurity in Genesis chapter 3, verse 11. Look at what God tells them. Look at what God says. Look at how God responds. He says, who told you that? Who told you that? I want you to catch that. God says, who told you that? Insecurity is a voice that tries to speak to us. And it's a voice of a lie. And insecurity tells us lies. It tells us that we are incomplete. It tells us that we lack what it takes. It tells us that we are not good enough. And so, my friends, it's important that we learn to stop listening to the other voices in this world and learn to allow the voice of God to rule and reign in our hearts. Very important, specifically if you're going through a storm right now, particularly if you feel discouraged right now, it's important for you to learn how to allow the voice of God to rule and to reign in your life. Who are you listening to? Who are you responding to? We, on Sundays, as part of our study on slaying insecurity, we are forming declarations from the voice of God to Jeremiah. We are forming declarations from the words of God to Jeremiah. And these declarations we are using to slay insecurity when they try to choke us out. We're using these declarations as swords. In fact, today what I did is I brought my crown to church today. I brought my crown because the crown represents authority. The Bible says in Psalms that we were crowned with glory and honor. I had to bring my crown. And also, I brought back my sword. I brought back my sword. I want you to follow along with me. We're learning. We're learning. And I'm glad my kids are here today. I'm glad my kids are here today. Because we're learning. We're learning. That the Bible teaches in Ephesians that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, right? We're learning that, right? The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And so we're learning that these declarations that we're learning are spiritual swords that we pull out on the enemy when he comes to attack us with insecurity, right? Someone say amen. This building used to be filled with people and used to preach to them, but now mostly everybody's gone. So I get to preach to y'all. Y'all are my audience. Amen? Can I get an amen? So we're learning that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And the declarations that we're learning. Remember the last couple of weeks, one of the declarations we learned is that I am formed by God. I am formed by God. I am known by God, right? I am known by God. So every time we make that declaration, like when the enemy comes to attack us with fear and the enemy comes to attack us with doubt and we say, I am known by God or I am formed by God, what we're doing is we're pulling out our spiritual sword and we're slaying insecurity. We're slaying, man, I feel like Conan right now. We're slaying insecurity. So listen to me. Pay attention for a second. In this world, you're going to have to fight for what God wants you to be. In this world, you're going to have to fight for what God wants you to do in life. It's not going to be easy. You're going to have to learn how to pull out your sword. Someone say sword. Sword. So we're learning. We're learning how to slay our insecurity with the declarations of the Word of God. Anybody ready for the next declaration? Anybody ready for the next declaration? All right. The declaration that we have for today, are you ready? Is I am sanctified by God. I am sanctified by God. Look at verse 5 with me for a moment. God tells Jeremiah, before you were born, I sanctified you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. That word sanctified means to be cleaned up and set apart. Means to be cleaned up and set apart. God cleaned you, God cleansed you, and set you apart to fulfill his mission in this world. That's what God does. He cleaned you up and he set you apart to fulfill his mission in this world. Now, what's particularly deep about this particular statement to Jeremiah is that God says, before you were even born, I sanctified you. That's pretty theologically deep. Before you were born, I sanctified you. In other words, I knew you were going to mess up, so I cleaned you up before you messed up. I cleaned you up before you messed up. That ain't God good? Ain't God good that he knew where we're going to mess up? And he tells Jeremiah, I knew that you're going to mess it up. So what I did was, before you even messed it up, I sanctified you. I cleaned you. And I set you apart. I'm telling you, God is good. Now, a revelation of sanctification is very, very important, because many people don't step in to their destiny because of an overwhelming sense of sin. I'm going to say that again. I need you to get this. A revelation of sanctification is important because many believers, many followers of Jesus Christ, don't step into their destiny because they live with an overwhelming sense of sin. It's called having a sin consciousness. It's called having a sin consciousness. And many, many people in the Bible were almost held back because of an overwhelming sense of sin. For example, Isaiah the prophet. When God was about to call Isaiah to do his particular assignment, Isaiah responds, when God reveals himself to Isaiah, Isaiah responds in Isaiah 6:5, and he says, it's all over. I am doomed. I am a sinful man. Look how he responds. He says, it's all over. And you know the reality was? It wasn't all over for Isaiah. It was just about to begin with Isaiah. But when you listen to the wrong voices, the devil will think you it's all over for you, when all along God is saying, I'm starting something new with you. I'm starting something new. And then we learned about Peter. Right when before Jesus calls Peter to be an apostle, right before Jesus gives him this holy assignment in Luke chapter 5, Peter responds to Jesus by saying, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Peter almost got held back because of an overriding sense of sin. And if there's one thing that I learned about Satan and the devil, is that the devil always tries to get you to look at the worst side of you. The devil always tries to get you to focus on the worst side of you. And God says, get your eyes off of yourself and start looking at what I'm doing in your life. Start looking at what I am doing in your life. The devil often uses the sense of guilt and sin as a weapon against us. Guilt has torment, and guilt has pain, and the guilt of sin often drives us away from God. The guilt of sin drives people to put needles in their arms. The guilt of sin drives people to stop going to church. The guilt of sin stops people from reading their Bible. The devil is crafty. He always wants you to be stuck in a sense of sin. All along, God deals with our sin through the gift of sanctification. God deals with our sin through the work of sanctification. So having a revelation of sanctification is critical for you rising up in your destiny. It's critical for you responding to the call of God on your life. If you don't have that revelation, you will stay paralyzed in a sense of sin and guilt. Now, the New Testament reveals that there are three stages to sanctification. Three stages. This is what the New Testament reveals, that there's instant sanctification, progressive sanctification, and final sanctification. When you study the sanctification as a whole in the Bible, you'll learn that in the New Testament, it reveals that there's three stages: instant sanctification, progressive sanctification, and then final sanctification. It is not my purpose today to go give you an exhausted study on all three of these stages. I just want to get your feet wet so you understand what happens when you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ with that instant sanctification. That instant sanctification. Instant sanctification is when you bow your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and you surrender to Jesus. The Holy Spirit automatically and instantaneously sanctifies you. When you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit instantly cleanses you, instantly makes you pure, instantly sets you apart for the mission of God for your life, instantly. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12 says, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside of the gate. Remember we talked about boasting in the cross of Jesus? Remember we talked about boasting? Remember boasting in the cross is gathering our confidence from all that Jesus accomplished on the cross? Remember? Remember that the cross is the act of divine accomplishment? The cross is the place of divine accomplishment? Remember? Remember we learned that the cross, that on the cross Jesus accomplished for us all we need for life and godliness? Remember we learned that? That at the cross is the great accomplishment of our Lord? One of the things that Jesus accomplished on the cross was our sanctification. One of the things that Jesus accomplished on the cross was our sanctification. The phrase, his own blood, doesn't just refer literally to his blood, but this phrase, his own blood, is a phrase that contains all that Jesus suffered and all that he accomplished on the cross. It is a reference to the cross of Jesus Christ. At the cross, Jesus accomplished for us our sanctification. And it doesn't matter what you've done in life. It doesn't matter where you've been in life. At the cross, there's sanctification waiting for you. At the cross, there's cleansing waiting for you. At the cross, there's wholeness waiting for you. That's the reason why we sing that song. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That is a reference to the cross of Christ sanctifying those that surrender to him. Are you following along? I am sanctified by God. When the enemy comes and tries to get me to look at my sin, when the enemy comes and tries to get me to hesitate and not to step into my destiny, no, not today, devil. I am sanctified by God. When the enemy comes and tries to get me to feel this small, I pick up my sword and I say, no, I am sanctified by God. I'm sanctified by God. I'm cleansed by God. I'm set apart by God. He set me apart for this. He made me holy for this. He cleansed me for this. Some of y'all got to get more aggressive in the spiritual realm. Some of y'all got to get more aggressive in the spiritual realm. Now, let me take you a little bit deeper. To be sanctified speaks of our privileged position. It speaks of our privileged position. We live in this world from a privileged position in Christ Jesus. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, we fight spiritually in this world from a privileged position in Christ Jesus, and God conferred upon us this privileged position because of the cross of Jesus Christ. He conferred upon this to us because of the cross of Jesus Christ. And I need to beat this down in past our head and into our heart, because many of us have been beaten down by the guilt of sin. Many of us have been beaten down by a sense of guilt and shame. And so I got to beat this down into our heart so that we could be fully liberated to do what God has called us to do. We operate in this world as believers from a privileged position in Christ Jesus. We fight the enemy spiritually in this world from a privileged position. Let me give you a radical revelation of yourself in Christ Jesus. Let me give you a radical revelation of your privileged position in Christ Jesus. Look at this scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus. By the way, for you to understand the power of this verse, you got to remember the context. The city of Corinth was one of the dirtiest, filthiest, immoral cities of that day. In fact, the church was tripping. The church at Corinth was tripping. They were not acting godly. They were not living up to what God made them. And Paul had to rebuke them. He wrote the letters, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, because there was so much problems in that church. But what I want you to see is he starts off the letter reminding them of their privileged position in Christ Jesus. He starts off the letter and doesn't say, to those that are filthy and messing up and sinning. That's not how he starts it off. He reminds them of who they are in Christ Jesus. I need you to get this, because the devil will remind you of your sin, but I need to remind you of who you are in Christ Jesus. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called, get this, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Did you know that you were called to be a saint, not a sinner? Did you know that the moment you bowed down to the Lord Jesus Christ and you surrendered your heart and your life, God calls you to be a saint, not a sinner? There is a big difference, beloved, between a sinner and a saint. Big difference. A sinner sins willfully and unapologetically and with no remorse. A saint, when he or she sins, there's a sense of conviction, and the blood of Jesus is there to back them up. Big difference between a sinner and a saint who sins. A sinner sins unapologetically, willfully, with no regard. When a saint sins, there's a sense of conviction, and the blood of Jesus is there to back him or her up. That's why 1 John 1:9 says that if you confess your sins unto God, he is faithful and just to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Are you following along? Are you following along? I think, now I'm about to tell you something radical, so I hope you got enough oxygen. I'm about to tell you something radical. I think that one of the biggest misleading statements that Christians have fallen for is that statement that says, I am just an old sinner saved by grace. You ever heard of that statement before? You ever said that statement before? I really believe, this is something radical now, that one of the biggest misleading statements that the church has fallen for, hook, line, and sinker, is the statement that says, oh, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. At worst, I think that statement is a lie. At best, I would say it's misleading. At worst, I would say it's a lie. At best, I would say it's misleading. You know why? Because that statement ties us to our sin. That statement, as flowery as it sounds, as humble as it sounds, it ties us to our sin, when all along the cross of Jesus freed us from our sins. When all along the cross of Jesus freed us from our sin. You got to be vigilant. The devil is sneaky. The devil has trickery up his sleeves. He will get you to tie yourself to your past. He will get you to tie yourself to your sin. When all along the cross of Jesus freed us from sin. When Jesus sanctified us at the point of salvation. Anybody following along? Anybody following along? The devil's crafty. Always getting us to tie us to our past. Always figuring out a way for us to hold on to our sin. Hold on to our guilt. Hold on to our shame. Because he knows if he gets us to hold on to it, if he gets us to hold on to it, he will hold us captive even though we're saved, even though we're going to heaven. We will live in a snapshot of hell while we're on this earth. So listen. Beloved, I'm not just an old sinner just saved by grace. I'm not just a sinner just saved by grace. I was a sinner. I am saved by grace. And today, hear me, today I am sanctified by God. Today, because of the cross of Jesus, today, because of the blood of Jesus, today, because of all that Jesus accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary, I can declare with no hesitation or doubt that I am sanctified by God. The devil don't like that declaration. The devil don't like when you fight back. I want to show you another scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Listen to this, just follow along. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexual immoral, those are people that just sleep around with everybody. No idolaters, those are people that put things over God, before God in their life. No adulterers, those are people that are unfaithful to their marriage covenant. Nor men who have sex with men, that's speaking about homosexuality. Nor thieves, that's speaking of people who like to steal, that are greedy, or it even says it. Nor the greedy, right? Look at that, look at that. It puts greedy in the same category of sexual immoral. I wonder why. Maybe because God will think that we categorize sin and we say, well, I'm not sexual immoral. I'm not a murderer. I'm just a little greedy. God puts it all, sin is sin. It says, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards. Hello, somebody. Nor the drunkards. Hello, somebody. Somebody got to listen. This is the word of God. Don't get mad at me. I'm just the mailman. Nor drunkards, nor slanderers. Slanderers. That's people who talk bad about people. Be careful. Be careful that you don't do the devil's work for him. Because last I checked, the Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He'll mess around and get us to do his job for him. Be careful. Nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Go to the next verse. Listen to what it says. And that is what some of you were. That's what you were. You need to be reminded. You're not that right now. You're not that right now. You're not a drunker right now. You're not a fornicator right now. You shouldn't be no fornicator right now. That's what you were. You were that. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. That is a radical revelation of your privileged position in Christ Jesus. You have been washed, you have been sanctified, and you have been justified. Doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter where you've been. At the cross, there is sanctification. At the cross, there is cleansing. At the cross, there is justification. I know it's radical, but we serve a radical God. We serve a radical God. So, when we say that I'm sanctified by God, it speaks of our privileged position. But lastly, the last thing it speaks of our hope. It speaks of our hope. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Listen to this, my brothers and sisters. Initial sanctification is the start of a process that culminates in sinless perfection. That's something deep right there you got to get. Initial sanctification starts a process that culminates in sinless perfection. While we're in this world, my brothers and sisters, yes, we will struggle with sin. Yes, we will struggle with sin. But there's going to come a time where we struggle no more. While we're in this world, yes, we will struggle with doing right and we'll struggle with doing wrong. Yes, we will win some battles and we will lose some battles. But there will come a time when the kingdom of God comes in its fullness and we will lay down our weapons at the feet of Jesus and we will struggle with sin no more. We will struggle with sin no more. So when we say, I am sanctified by God, we are speaking about our hope. We are reminding ourselves that we may be struggling right now, but this struggle will not last forever. We are one day closer to the return of Jesus, one day closer to our complete joy, one day closer to our complete happiness in the kingdom of God. The old hymn read, behold, all the armies are now marching home. God's trumpet is sounding and bids us home. All Zion's fair armies together doeth meet and lay down their armor at Jesus' feet. My brothers and sisters, the next time insecurity tries to wrap you up, the next time insecurity tries to hold you down, I encourage you, I challenge you to pick up your spiritual sword and begin to fight back. Begin to fight back. How do you start fighting back? By declaring the word of God over your situation. I am sanctified by God. I am sanctified by God. I am known by God. I am formed by God. I'm telling you, you will begin to slay insecurity in your life. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for my brothers and sisters who are listening, wherever they're listening. Father God, some of them are struggling with a sense of guilt and shame. Some of them are struggling with an overwhelming sense of guilt, and it's holding them down. Father God, I pray that you give them a revelation of their privileged position in Christ. I pray that you remind them that they're called to be saints and not sinners. I pray that you remind them that positionally, in Christ, they are perfect. I pray that you remind them that when you look to them, Father, you do not see their sin, but you see them in Christ Jesus. Father God, we receive it. We humble ourselves right now, Lord, and we receive that position. Not because of our own strength, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus did. We humble ourselves and receive that sanctification even now. Lord, wipe away that sense of guilt and shame. Wipe it away, Lord God. Help them, Lord. Help them, Father. Help them. Let's just bow our heads for a couple moments. Some of you have forgotten who you are in Christ Jesus. Whenever you forget who you are, you act like who you're not. Some of you have forgotten that God has sanctified you. Some of you have forgotten that God has called you to be a saint and not a sinner. It's not okay that you continue in your sin. It's not okay that you continue in your adultery. It's not okay that you continue in your fornication. God is doing a special work in your life. God is trying to heal you emotionally. But every time you go back to your sin, you invite the things of hurt back into your life, and God is saying, stop it now. I didn't call you out of sin so you can tie yourself back into sin. Someone out in that living room, someone out watching by your car, God is telling you, I did not call you out of sin so you could tie yourself back into sin. Why are you blaming God for the headaches in your life? It's not God's fault. You continue to make the wrong decisions. You continue to go back to your sin. You forgot that God sanctified you. You forgot that God has made you clean. You forgot that God has set you apart. He set you apart. That's the reason why you don't fit in no more. That's the reason why when you attempt to go back to your old ways, everything seems to eventually fall apart. That's the reason why you keep getting your heart broken, is because you're trying to fit in to what God called you out of. You're trying to fit in to what God called you out of. I proclaim over you this morning that you're going to start acting like a saint. I proclaim over you this morning that you're going to start thinking like a saint. I proclaim over you this morning that you're going to begin to live out what God already made you. Listen to me for a second. Look at me. Look at the monitor. Look at the monitor. One thing I love about God is He knows that you and I cannot live righteousness on our own. So what does He do? He makes us holy. He sanctifies us the moment we cry out to Him. And then He says, I want you to live up to what I already made you. I already put it inside of you. It's inside of you already. The Holy Ghost is inside of you already. The Holy Ghost is there to strengthen you. The Holy Ghost is there to lead you and to navigate, help you navigate through this world. The Holy Ghost is there to strengthen you, but you can't keep trying to go back to some place where God has called you out of. No more. No more. No more in Jesus' name. No more. If you're listening to me and you're one of the ones that this word resonates in your heart, I want you to say right, well, I want you to lift up your hands right towards that monitor right now, and I want you to say no more in the name of Jesus. If this resonates in your heart, I want you to say no more in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, say no more in the name of Jesus. Now I want you to say, I'm sanctified by God. Come on, say it. Say, I'm sanctified by God. Say it again. I am sanctified by God. Say it again. I am sanctified by God. Come on, I'm your spiritual coach right now. I'm trying to help you to exercise in the spiritual realm. Say it again. I am sanctified by God. I am sanctified by God. That's your exercise for this week, all week long. When you wake up in the morning, I want you to say that. I'm sanctified by God. I'm sanctified by God. When you're driving in the car, I'm sanctified by God. When you're cooking this week, I want you to say it. I am sanctified by God. If you're on Facebook, I want you to write that out. I want you to post it. Not just one time, over and over again. You got to exercise. You got to exercise unto godliness. You got to exercise unto godliness. I want you to say it over and over again. I am sanctified by God. I am sanctified by God. I am sanctified by God. Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. I pray that this word resonates and marinates in your spirit. I believe it's delivering you, setting you free even now. And the person God has called you to be is coming up even now. I sense it. I see it. It's coming up. That woman of God is emerging. That man of God is emerging. That young man of God is emerging. That young lady of God is emerging even now by the power of the Holy Spirit. At this time, we're going to transition our time together, and we're going